listening to Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone and ESPNChattanooga.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a magnificent Monday. All calls on Press Row come via the Hardee's hotline at 648-1051. Hardee's, the home of charbroiled thick burgers and made-from-scratch biscuits. Check out your local Hardee's today for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Hardee's and ESPN 105.1 The Zone, Chattanooga's championship combination. And joining us on the Hardee's hotline today is Ernie Johnson Jr., he of announcing fame, Braves baseball, NBA. We could fill an entire segment with his credentials. Ernie, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
If I were doing any better, I'd be jealous of myself.
How there you go. Nice, nice.
Stole that from somebody, so feel free to use it at your leisure.
Ernie will be speaking at Macaulay this Friday at a luncheon. They've got, obviously, we had Coach Shulman on last week talking about Oak Hill Academy, Hamilton Heights, Central, and Macaulay. Quite the tournament going on this weekend. And when you speak at these, you've got so much in your background. You've got cancer. You've got, I mean, there's so many different directions you can go. How do you hone everything in, and what do you like discussing when you have these kind of speaking opportunities?
Well, the first thing I like to make clear when somebody asks, and, you know, Coach contacted me several months ago about this, and I said, look, I don't like to go to places to speak and just say, okay, here's 45 minutes of funny Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal stories. That's not what I do. And so I think that there, I always think I want to leave somebody, no matter what the audience is, with some type of a message or something to chew on when they walk out the door. So, yeah, so this, I'm not to give away what I'm going to talk about that day, but there really is a message about embracing a life that is unscripted. And because there are things that happen all the time that don't go according to the plan that maybe you had. And certainly cancer falls into that, having gone through that episode in my life. The adoption of our children, 4 out of the 6 that we have, falls into that. And the unexpected things that can happen when you have somebody else who enters your life who kind of alters things. So that's what it is. It's, you know, while our show is unscripted, you know, the show that everybody watches with Chuck and Kenny and Shaq, life is that way too. And so there are several stories to draw from along those lines, and something that I hope the players get out of it, something I hope businessmen and women who are in the audience get out of it, that coaches get out of it, and I can't wait to get there. I really can't. It's going to be a great morning.
You're a face that everybody sees all the time, but in reading up about you, I mean, I know you're a Georgia grad. I knew that before I started reading up about you. You know, Mark Richt, the football coach there the past 15 years, he was quick to profess the story of his faith and how he had just got to Bobby Bowden's staff at Florida State, and that they had a player die, and Bobby Bowden gathered everybody and said, look, I mean, if this was you, do you know where you're going tomorrow? And at that point, Mark Richt, you know, professed his faith. I know you did the same thing kind of later on in life. Can you share what kind of brought that on for you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was you know, I'm one of these guys, and I've, you know, when I give my testimony or tell my story to folks, I'm amazed at how many guys' stories are, you know, kind of parallel mine, because you can go through a lot of your life feeling like it's all about you, and that life is pretty good. You know, I've got a job, a wife, kids, everything's tremendous. But I think I got to a point where I was saying that what I was doing was defining who I am. You're a sportscaster. That's who you are. That's what you are. And I thought there's got to be more to life than this. And it wasn't until I really explored my faith with a pastor outside Atlanta back in the late 90s, it was actually December 10th of 1997 when I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. And so that's, you know, that was the turning point in my life, and it allowed me to see that there's so much more to life than what I was giving it credit for, you know, that when you step out of the way and don't make it a me-centered life, that a lot of doors open up. And so, yeah, that was how my life actually was transformed back in 1997.
I do want to slip in one Charles Barkley question, because is what you...
Oh, no, that's, you know, and believe me, guys, that's fine. And before the day is over on Friday, you know, and I'll throw it open to questions, I'm sure I'll be talking about those. And I talk about those guys as I get started, too. But
right.
I just want to make sure people understand that there's more to this than what they see on TV.
Exactly.
But go ahead, what's your question?
Well, I guess, you know, he was in there last week. He was on the Dan Le Batard show talking about the framing of the Super Bowl and not liking it, you know, where it was headed with Cam Newton. And, you know, he's a hot-button guy. I'm just kind of curious, is what you see, what you get with him, is he any different behind the camera? I mean, when the cameras turn off.
Oh, no, I mean, believe me, it's, and people always ask that, and I'm trying to think of, you know, the most frequently asked questions I get on the show. Hey, is it really as much fun as it looks like? What's it like to work with Charles Barkley? And there, believe me, I know folks want to know, because the show looks like it's so much fun, and it is. And it looks like it can be unpredictable, and it is. I mean, I tell people all the time, look, if you're watching that show and you don't know what's going to happen next, join the club, because most of the time I don't either. You know, I don't know if Charles is going to go off on a tangent, if Shaq is going to surprise us by saying he didn't know that the Warriors played in Oakland, he thought they played in San Francisco. You know, it's these are things you can't script. They just happen. And so, no, it is. It's a blast. I mean, and I've, you know, it's gone by so quickly because, you know, we've been together now for about 15 seasons, Kenny and Shaq. I mean, Kenny and Charles and I, and Shaq's been there for the last four or five. So, no, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it, you know, no two nights are alike, is the fact that it's unpredictable and spontaneous and kind of letter rip TV. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're listening to Ernie Johnson of Inside the NBA. He'll be at Macaulay this weekend, specifically on Friday at noon. If you want tickets to the luncheon, Macaulay.org, www.macaulay.org. But right now you're listening to Ernie Johnson here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ernie, I have a couple of questions about the E60 show, and I'm one curious about the feedback you got and how touching it was, especially your relationship with your son Michael and his love for cars. And in the transcript of that, have you said any three better words in your life than bring him home?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, it's on the E60 story itself, on that piece, my wife and I really had to sit down and have a couple of heart-to-hearts about, do we want to allow somebody into what has been a very private part of our lives. I mean, we've talked about Michael and talked about his adoption from Romania and that kind of thing. And there were times where, like when I had to miss the baseball playoffs in 2011, it was because Michael had almost died. And so we really had to think about it. And then we decided, we said, look, if this opens somebody's eyes, if this piece opens somebody's eyes to adoption, you know, and Michael was adopted from Romania, if it opens somebody's eyes to the fight against cancer, and I've been through that, if it opens somebody's eyes into the father-son relationship, because we're going to talk about, you know, my dad and myself, and if it can do some good that way, then, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. We were blown away by the job E60 did. Jeremy Schapp, Dan Lindberg, the producer. We were blown away by it. And we were blown away by the fact that ESPN wanted to do a story about a TNT guy, too. I mean, that knocked our socks off in the first place. So, yeah, the response has been staggering and humbling. I've heard from thousands of people, and it's touched them in some way. Have I said any three more impactful words than bring him home? Probably not. But it was just, you know, you listen to your your wife on the phone from Romania describing this kid and saying, I just don't know if I can go through my life wondering what happened to this kid. And believe me, you know, it's out of my mouth before I even, it's not like I said, well, I'm going to prepare this thing. I just bring him home.
Right.
You know,
right.
Bring him home. Everybody needs a home. Everybody needs a shot, you know, and so that's where that came from. In fact, so those three words are bring them home is impactful, and three other ones are trust God, period, is how I try to live day by day.
And I don't want to be the Tom Rinaldi of the interview, but I got to tell you, as a guy who's had a great relationship with his father, and I'm a junior as well, how cool was doing a Braves game with your dad?
The greatest. You know, people ask, when you think about your career, and it's gone on a long time now. I mean, I started in TV in 1979 in Macon, Georgia, and they say, well, what's the greatest moment? And I said, well, the best is working with my dad. The best was having a chance during parts of four baseball seasons when it worked in the schedule to be sitting shoulder to shoulder with him at the stadium doing Braves games. You know, that's it, and because I never lose sight of the fact that I have something, guys, that a lot of guys out there wish they had. They wish they had a relationship with their father. They wish they had a father who was there from, you know, that they could always rely on. And not everybody gets that. And,
right.
And believe me, I am blessed to have had that with a man who lived 87 years. And so, no, to be able to sit there with him and do games, you know, in a game we both love, and a game that he gave his life for. I mean, I'm telling you, he was all about baseball. And having the chance to do that, it doesn't get any better. I don't care what else happens in my career. That'll be the high point.
You're listening to veteran announcer Ernie Johnson here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Ernie, I guess if the question you get more than any is about Barkley, I guess the question you've been getting most lately is this year's Golden State team. How does this Golden State team compare to some of the greatest NBA teams you've been able to see?
No, I mean, I just think their style of play combined with obviously the success they've had makes them a team that's really easy to root for, I guess, is one way to put it. I mean, you guys are basketball fans, too. I mean, when you're flipping around the dial and you see Golden State on there, don't you at least have to sit there for 5 minutes and say, I want to see if Curry does something. I want to see if Klay Thompson's red hot. I want to see if Draymond Green is going to get a triple-double. I mean, they're a very rootable bunch, and they do it the right way. And I think Blake Griffin said it really well earlier in the season. He said, that's a clutter-free team. He said everything they do, everything about them is between the lines on the floor. You don't hear about anybody else having trouble. You don't hear about anybody having an argument with this guy or this guy making headlines off the floor. And it's ironic because then later here's Blake Griffin with the thing with the assistant equipment man. And, you know, that's clutter if you're the Clippers. But no, Golden State's a blast to watch. I love watching them play. And I think people relate because they do it with the jump shot. And everybody out there is going out in the backyard and shot jumpers. If this was a team that was just a bunch of high-wire dunkers, it's harder to get close to them. But when we've all shot jumpers in the backyard and know how tough it is, and to watch these guys shoot it the way they do, it's an amazing phenomenon. It's a pleasure to watch them play.
All right, when we have guests on like you, we like to close with a rapid fire. You up for playing first thing off the top
man,
of the head?
I was hoping, when I woke up this morning, I was hoping, I said, when I get on Press Row, I certainly hope I get the chance to play rapid fire. If not, my day is going to be just shot. I'm ready.
Here we go. Give me a favorite Brave that you've liked dealing with through the years, whether it's somebody on the front line or somebody under the scenes.
Dale Murphy.
Okay.
Greg Popovich, friend or fro?
Friend, big time.
All right, being a UGA guy, which Bulldog rival do you enjoy beating the most?
All of them.
When they flip
you
the...
You know what?
Go ahead.
You're going to hit Tennessee.
That's fine.
And when we're done, I can tell you the answer.
Go ahead. Tell us now.
You want to know why it's Tennessee?
Sure.
Because in my one glorious year of playing baseball at the University of Georgia, you know, I walked on as a freshman and was told to walk off as a sophomore. one of the highlights of my career, as I went 2-for-18 my freshman year, was a base hit at Tennessee that gave us the lead in the second game of a doubleheader. If we hold on to the lead, we win the division. We clinch it right then, and then and then somebody hit a granny in the bottom of the inning to beat us. We still won the division a couple of days later, but they ruined my chance to actually have a moment at the University of Georgia.
Well, and before we get to the next one, that 111 batting average, that didn't leave a whole lot in coach's discretion, did it?
No, you know, they used to tell me, and I tell people, I rewrote the record books at Georgia, mainly because the coach said, hey, these record books are getting a little blurry. While you're not playing over there, rewrite these, will you?
When they turn the cameras off, everybody knows Charles is full of bluster. When they turn the cameras off, who's the better trash talker between Kenny, Charles, and Shaq?
Shaq.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
All right, Ernie, throughout your years, has there been a most disagreeable athlete that you just never really was able to crack as far as interviews? It was just difficult.
I would say the San Diego Padres manager, Dick Williams, moments after the big brawl with the Atlanta Braves.
Champ Summers, Bob Horner.
Champ Summers, that whole thing. Yeah, I talked to him after that, and he was not pleased. There was no getting through.
Gotcha. You've had a glorious career, better than you probably ever thought. Is there one sporting event out there that's still atop your bucket list that you would like to describe?
The Masters.
Yes, sir. That's a guy who lives in Brazelton right there.
Ernie, listen, we thank you so much for joining us. Ernie Johnson will be at Macaulay for a luncheon noon Friday. Tickets are $25. For information, visit www.macaulay.org. Ernie, we thank you so much for taking some time here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Guys, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on, and hope to see you up there Friday.
Sounds great. Ernie Johnson. Back with more. We'll open up the Hardee's Hotline, 648-1051. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.